Commingling of personal and business funds is prohibited. Conversion, or use of the escrow funds for personal or business purposes, is also prohibited. Dispute over disbursement of escrow funds. If there should be disputes between the parties regarding escrow money, the sponsoring broker shall continue to hold the deposit. The sponsoring broker must wait for all parties to signal agreement on the escrow disposition by signing a definite agreement. Otherwise, she should not disburse funds until such an agreement is reached. If no agreement can be reached within 6 months, the sponsoring broker turns the funds over to the court, where final decision concerning disbursement of the funds is made or deemed abandoned and transferred to the office of the state treasurer to be handled as unclaimed pursuant to the Uniform Disposition of Unclaimed Property Act. Escrow account records. Each sponsoring broker who accepts earnest money shall maintain, in his or her office or place of business, a bookkeeping system in accordance with sound accounting principles, and such system shall consist of at least the following escrow records. Journal. A journal must be maintained for each escrow account. The journal shall show the chronological sequence in which funds are received and disbursed. For funds received, the journal shall include the date the funds were received, the name of the person on whose behalf the funds are delivered to that sponsoring broker, the amount of the funds delivered. For fund disbursement, the journal shall include the date, the payee, the check number, the amount disbursed. A running balance shall be shown after each entry, receipt, or disbursement. Ledger. A ledger shall be maintained for each transaction. The ledger shall show the receipt and the disbursement of funds affecting a single particular transaction, such as between buyer and seller, or landlord and tenant, or the respective parties to any other relationship. For funds received, the ledger shall include the names of all parties to a transaction, the amount of such funds received by the sponsoring broker, the date of such receipt. For fund disbursement, the ledger shall show the date, the payee, the check number, the amount disbursed. The ledger shall segregate one transaction from another transaction. There shall be a separate ledger or separate section of each ledger, as the sponsoring broker shall elect, for each kind of real estate transaction. If the ledger is computer-generated, the sponsoring broker must maintain hard copies of bank deposit slips, bank disbursement slips, other bank receipts. These hard copies are to be retained to account for the data on the ledger. Monthly reconciliation statement. Each sponsoring broker shall reconcile within 10 days after receipt of the monthly bank statement each escrow account maintained by the sponsoring broker, except where there has been no transactional activity during the previous month. Such reconciliation shall include a written worksheet comparing the balances as shown on the bank statement, the journal, and the ledger, respectively, in order to ensure agreement between the escrow account and the journal and the ledger entries with respect to such escrow account. Each reconciliation shall be kept for at least 5 years from the last day of the month covered by the reconciliation. Master escrow account log. Each sponsoring broker shall maintain a master escrow account log identifying all escrow bank account numbers and the name and address of the bank where the escrow accounts are located. The master escrow account log must specifically include all bank account numbers open for the individual transactions, even if such account numbers fall under another umbrella account number. If the department requests to view or audit escrow records, they must be supplied within 24 hours of the request to the department personnel. Escrow records must be maintained for 5 years. The escrow records for the immediate prior 2 years shall be maintained in the office location, and the balance of the records can be maintained at another location. The licensed ACT and assistants, unlicensed assistants. These employees can legally perform only limited tasks, typing, filing, answering phones. Licensed broker as assistants. The actual employment agreement for a licensed broker working as an assistant is made with the sponsoring broker of the firm and can only be compensated by the sponsoring broker. Advertising regulations, section 10-30. Advertising is expanded to include social media and digital forums. A sponsoring broker must include his/her business name and franchise affiliation in all advertisements. The sponsoring broker's name shall be at least equal in size or larger than the team names or that of the individual licensee. Blind ads are prohibited. Blind ads are defined as advertisements related to the sale or lease of any real estate, other real estate activities, or the hiring of other licensees that do not indicate the brokerage firm name. Blind advertisement is expanded to include electronic ads that do not provide a direct link to all the required disclosures. Do not indicate that the advertiser is a licensee. Offer only a box number, street address, or telephone number for responses. Designated managing brokers, manage an office, must advertise as designated managing brokers. All other managing brokers may advertise as managing brokers. In addition, pursuant to Section 10-40, every brokerage company or entity, other than a sole proprietorship with no other sponsored licensees, must adopt a company or office policy covering certain topics, including advertising ads prepared by licensees should at least include property for sale, licensee name, company name as registered with the department and company city state, and the city or area of the advertised property. All other ads, licensee name, company name as registered with the department and company city state. A licensee must never advertise in only his/her name. Always include the firm's name and address. Never advertise another sponsoring broker's listings without written permission. Always keep advertisements up to date and clear. Never create ads containing inherently misleading terms, such as company, realty, real estate, agency, associates, brokers, properties, property. Licensees must disclose to consumers their intent to share or sell consumer information that has been collected via the internet or any other means of electronic communication. This disclosure must be conspicuous and timely. Social media and text. Social media has opened up opportunities for people to communicate with others and grow their business. Social media has changed the way real estate professionals get information out to their clients. Marketing properties through social media allows real estate agents to reach their sphere of influence, SOA, and inform clients. Social media also allows agents to market themselves and grow their business. Social networking platforms like Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter allow agents to reach a wide range of traffic and provide useful information. Posting of events such as showings, new listings, open houses, closings, and any other real estate activities should be done daily. When texting information to clients, agents must be careful about terms or abbreviations that can be misunderstood or using language that can alienate others. Agents should be careful about posting sharing personally identifiable information for the confidentiality of their clients. Licensees advertising via the internet or other forms of electronic media are forbidden to employ deceptive or misleading URLs or domain names. Frame the website of another real estate brokerage or multiple listing service without permission or with the intent or effect of deceiving the consumer, and use keywords or other such tools to mislead consumers or deceptively guide or engage internet traffic. Advertising on the internet. Ads prepared for the internet must adhere to the following. An internet ad must include proper identification, licensee name, company location, and geographic location of property. E-correspondence, bulletin boards, or e-commerce discussion groups require licensee name, and company location. Links to listing information from other internet sites are permitted without approval unless the website owner requires approval for links to be added. Any such link must not mislead or deceive the public as to the ownership of any listing information. As with other advertising, internet sites are to be updated periodically and kept current. In internet advertising situations, the rules do not allow advertising a property that is subject to an exclusive listing agreement with a sponsoring broker other than the licensee's own, without the permission of and identifying that listing sponsoring broker, and failing to remove advertising of a listed property within a reasonable time, given the nature of the advertising, after the earlier of the closing of a sale on the listed property or the expiration or termination of the listing agreement, painting a true picture. Licensed real estate agents must present a true picture in advertising and representation to the public, including URLs and domain names. The National Association of Realtor Registered Code of Ethics states, "Realtors shall be honest and truthful in their real estate communications and shall present a true picture in their advertising, marketing, and other representations. Realtors shall ensure status as real estate professionals is readily apparent in their advertising, marketing, and other representations, and that the recipients of all real estate communications are or have been notified that those communications are from a real estate professional. Advertising must contain all the information necessary to communicate to the public in an accurate, direct, and readily comprehensible manner. Phone book listings. Licensees must not place their own names under the heading Real Estate in a telephone directory or otherwise advertise their services to the public through any media without also listing the business name of the sponsoring broker with whom they are affiliated. This rule is consistent throughout all advertising media. Selling your own property. Selling or leasing your own property or a property in which you have an interest means you, as a licensee, must use the term broker-owned or agent-owned in all advertising and on listing sheets. If the real estate firm's sign is used in the yard and the firm's services are being used, then having the agent-owned or broker-owned notation on the sign itself is not necessary. However, all written materials, listing sheets, ads, internet ads, still must carry the broker-owned or agent-owned notation. The Illinois Real Estate License Act of 2000 provides that no matter how one lists an agent-owned property by owner or through a real estate firm, the agent must take care not to confuse the public. Finally, it is possible and permitted by the department to list your own personal real estate with a firm other than the one at which you work, if you so desire and if your sponsoring broker approves. A licensee must always disclose agent-owned. Place agent-owned on the home sign if FSBO. If a licensee advertises to personally purchase or lease real estate, disclosure of licensee status is required. Compensation and Business Practice, Article 10. Section 10-5, a licensee may not receive compensation from anyone other than her sponsoring broker. In turn, sponsoring brokers may compensate only licensees whom they personally sponsor, including licensed brokers working as personal assistants. The one exception is a former licensee now working for another sponsoring broker, but who is due a commission from work completed while still at the first firm. Sponsoring brokers may directly compensate other sponsoring brokers, as in a cooperative commission arrangement for the listing broker to pay commission to the firm with the buyer. Section 10-10, disclosure of compensation is a significant issue. The Act holds that clients must be made aware of compensation, source of compensation, and the sponsoring broker's policy on sharing commission with cooperating sponsoring brokers. If compensation is being issued to an agent from both buyer and seller in one transaction, this must be disclosed. Any third-party compensation must also be disclosed. If a licensee refers a client to a service in which the licensee has greater than 1% interest, title, legal, mortgage, the interest must be disclosed. Section 10-15, it is illegal to compensate unlicensed persons or anyone being held in violation of the Act. To sue for commission in Illinois, one must be a licensed real estate sponsoring broker. Funds from sellers or buyers always go through the sponsoring broker. He is the only one who issues compensation to brokers, managing brokers, residential leasing agents, or licensed brokers working as personal assistants working under him/her. No licensee may pay a referral fee to an unlicensed person who is not a principal to the transaction. A licensee may not request a referral fee unless reasonable cause for payment of the fee exists, a contractual referral fee arrangement. Section 10-15 also states that a licensee may offer cash, gifts, prizes, awards, coupons, merchandise, rebates or chances to win a game of chance, if not prohibited by any other law, to consumers as a legitimate approach to garnering business. Additionally, it is perfectly legal to share commission compensation with a principal to a given transaction. It now is legal for a sponsoring broker to pay a corporation set up by the licensee, rather than the licensee directly, if desired. They cannot sell under the corporate name, they must sell under their own name. The law allows formation of an entity to receive licensee compensation from the sponsoring broker where licensee is sole owner, or licensee spouses sponsored by the same sponsoring broker are owners, or licensee and unlicensed spouse are owners of the entity. Disciplinary provisions and loss of license. The Real Estate License Act of 2000 lists specific violations for which licensees may be subject to discipline. The department is authorized to impose the following disciplinary penalties. Refuse to issue or renew any license. Suspend or revoke any license. Censure or reprimand a licensee. Place a licensee on probation. Impose a civil penalty of not more than $25,000 for any one cause, or any combination of causes for discipline. The department may take disciplinary action against a licensee for any one cause or a combination of causes. Specifically, a licensee may be subject to disciplinary action or fines if the licensee makes a false or fraudulent representation in attempting to obtain or renew a license, has been convicted of a felony or of a crime involving dishonesty, fraud, larceny, embezzlement, or obtaining money, property, or credit by false pretenses or by means of a confidence game, is unable to practice the profession with reasonable judgment, skill, or safety as a result of a physical illness, practices as a licensee in a retail sales establishment from an office's desk or space that is not separated from the main retail business and in a separate and distinct area, has been subjected to disciplinary action by another state, the District of Columbia, a territory, a foreign nation, a government agency, or any other entity authorized to impose discipline if at least one of the grounds for that discipline is the same as or equivalent to a cause for discipline in Illinois, has engaged in real estate brokerage without a license or with an expired or inactive license, attempts to subvert or cheat on the licensing exam or assist someone else in doing so, or advertises in a way that is inaccurate, misleading, or contrary to provisions of the Act. A licensee also is subject to disciplinary action if found guilty of any of the following activities: making any false promises to influence, persuade, or induce, pursuing a continued and flagrant course of misrepresentation or making false promises through licensee, employees, agents, advertising, or otherwise, using any trade name or insignia of membership in any real estate organization of which the licensee is not a member, acting for more than one party in a transaction without providing written agency disclosure, representing or attempting to represent a broker other than the sponsoring broker, failing to account for or remit any monies or documents belonging to others that come into the licensee's possession, failing to properly maintain and deposit escrow monies in a separate account, failing to make all escrow records maintained in connection with the practice of real estate available during normal business hours and within 24 hours of submitted request, failing to keep all records for 5 years, can be kept electronically but must be backed up on a regular basis, failing to furnish, on request, copies of all documents relating to a real estate transaction to all parties executing them, failure of the sponsoring broker to provide appropriate licensing documents, license termination information, in a timely way, engaging in dishonorable, unethical, or unprofessional conduct of a character likely to deceive, defraud, or harm the public, commingling the money or property of others with one's own, employing any person on a purely temporary or single-deal basis as a means of evading the law regarding illegal payment of fees to non-licensees, permitting the use of one's managing broker's license by another person in order to operate a real estate office, displaying a for rent or for sale sign on any property, or advertising in any fashion, without the written consent of the owner, failing to provide information requested within 30 days of the request as related to audits or complaints made against the licensee based on the Act, utilizing blind advertising, offering an improperly constructed guaranteed sales plan, one that does not meet the Act's requirements for such plans, intending to promote racial or religious segregation by use of actions or words or behaving or speaking in such a way as to discourage integration, violating the Illinois Human Rights Act, inducing any individual to break out of an existing contract to enter into a new one, whether a sales contract or a listing contract, negotiating directly with the client of another agent, acting as an attorney in the same transaction in which one acts as a real estate licensee if merchandise or services are advertised for free. Any conditions or obligations necessary for receiving the merchandise or services must appear in the same ad or offer, disregarding or violating any provisions of the Land Sales Registration Act or the Timeshare Act. Violating a disciplinary order. Paying or failing to disclose compensation that violates the Act. Disregarding or violating any provision of this Act or the published rules or any regulations promulgated to enforce the Act. Failing to provide the minimum services required under an exclusive brokerage agreement. Violating the terms of a disciplinary order issued by the department. Forcing any party to a transaction to compensate the licensee as a requirement for releasing earnest money. Habitual use or addiction to alcohol, narcotics, stimulants, or any other chemical agent that results in licensee's inability to practice with skill and safety. Failure to disclose the licensee status on the multiple listing service data form that is accessible to the public if the licensee have any ownership interest in the property. A licensee shall report to the department in a manner adopted by rule. Any plea of guilty or nolo contendere to forgery, embezzlement, obtaining money under false pretenses, larceny, extortion, conspiracy to defraud, or any similar offense or offenses or any conviction of a felony involving moral turpitude that occurs during the licensee's term of licensure. Discrimination. Licensee guilty of discrimination, Section 20-50. If there has been a civil or criminal trial in which a licensee has been found to have engaged in illegal discrimination in the course of a licensed activity, the department must suspend or revoke the licensee's license unless the adjudication is an appeal. Similarly, if an administrative agency finds that a licensee has engaged in illegal discriminatory activities, the department must take disciplinary action against the licensee unless the administrative order is an appeal. Guaranteed sales plans. A guaranteed sales plan means a real estate purchase or sales plan whereby a licensee enters into one or more conditional or unconditional written contracts with a seller, one of which is a brokerage agreement, and wherein the person agrees to purchase the seller's property within a specified period of time at a specific price. In the event the property is not sold in accordance with the terms of a brokerage agreement to be entered into between the sponsoring broker and the seller, a licensee is subject to disciplinary action if he offers a guaranteed sales plan without complying with the Act's requirements for such agreements. A person who offers a guaranteed sales plan to consumers is engaged in licensed activity under this Act and is required to have a license. A licensee offering a guaranteed sales plan shall provide the details, including the purchase price and conditions of the plan, in writing to the party to whom the plan is offered prior to entering into the brokerage agreement. A licensee offering a guaranteed sales plan shall provide to the party to whom the plan is offered evidence of sufficient financial resources to satisfy the commitment to purchase undertaken by the broker in the plan. A licensee offering a guaranteed sales plan shall undertake to market the property of the seller subject to the plan in the same manner in which the broker would market any other property unless the agreement with the seller provides otherwise. The licensee may not purchase seller's property until the period for offering the property for sale has ended according to its terms, or is otherwise terminated. Any licensee who fails to perform on a guaranteed sales plan in strict accordance with its terms shall be subject to all the penalties provided in this Act for violations thereof and, in addition, shall be subject to a civil fine payable to the party injured by the default in an amount of up to $25,000. Source PA 101-357, F. August 9, 19. Unlawful actions by associates. If no sponsoring broker knowledge, a sponsoring broker will not have his or her license revoked because of an unlawful act or violation by any broker, managing broker, or residential leasing agent employed by or associated with the sponsoring broker, or by any unlicensed employee, unless the sponsoring broker had knowledge of the unlawful act or violation. The sponsoring broker could possibly be held liable for the employee's actions under vicarious responsibility. Disciplinary procedures. Any person providing or offering to provide real estate services, or who is licensed or claims to be licensed under the Act, may be investigated by the department at least 30 days before the date of a hearing set for examination of such an issue, and prior to taking any disciplinary action, including but not limited to reprimand, probation, or revocation or suspension of license, the department will do the following. In writing, inform the person under investigation of the charges being brought against her and the location and time of the hearing. This notification may be sent by personal delivery or certified mail to the address given by the individual in her last communication with the department? Instruct the accused individual to respond to the charges, under oath and in writing, within 20 days of being informed of the charges and hearing. Notify the individual that unless he responds as instructed, default will be taken against her and disciplinary action, such as imposition of a fine or license suspension, revocation, or probation, may be instituted. At the hearing, the charges will be presented to the board, and the accused individual and her counsel will be allowed to offer a defense via statements, arguments, testimony, and evidence. The board may continue the hearing from time to time. When an individual fails to respond to the notice and the charges are deemed sufficient, the department may institute disciplinary action without a hearing. The department is required to keep a record of all formal hearing proceedings at the department's expense. According to the same guidelines concerning fees, mileage, and manner provided for civil cases for state court, the department is empowered to subpoena materials, such as books, documents, and records, and bring people before it to testify orally or give depositions, or both. All members of the board, as well as the secretary, the designated hearing officer, may place witnesses under oath in any authorized department hearing or in other contexts in which the department is authorized to do so by this act. The department will present the licensee with a copy of the board's report following the conclusion of the hearing. The licensee may request a rehearing via a motion in writing, which indicates the reasons justifying a new hearing. This request must be made within 20 days after the licensee has been served with the department's report. If the motion for rehearing is denied, the secretary is empowered to enter an order as recommended by the board. If the secretary determines that emergency action is required to protect the public interest, welfare, or safety, she may move to suspend the accused individual's license without a hearing first. However, a hearing must be scheduled for within 30 days of the suspension. The licensee may seek a continuance to postpone the hearing, but in such a case, the suspension will remain in effect. In any action intended to discipline a license holder or to refuse to issue, restore, or renew a license, the secretary may appoint an Illinois licensed attorney to serve in her place as the hearing officer, with complete authority to direct the proceedings. The officer must establish findings pertaining to the allegations, the licensee's conduct, and the law, and present these conclusions to the board, along with her recommendations. Board members may attend hearings, if they wish, and are required to review the hearing officer's report and then present the board findings to the secretary and all parties to the hearing. The secretary is permitted to enter an order that is inconsistent with the board or hearing officer's recommendations if she disagrees with either party. Once the order to suspend or revoke a license has been put through, the licensee is required to immediately hand over her license. If the licensee fails to surrender her license, the department is empowered to seize it. If the board so recommends, in writing, the department can restore the suspended or revoked license at any time following the event. The exception to this is any instance in which the board further investigates the issue, holds a hearing, and decides that restoring the license would not serve the public interest. The secretary may order that another hearing be held before the same examiners or a different set, in the event that she believes that the disciplinary action taken was unjust. Right to petition administrative judicial review, section 20-75. All final administrative decisions are subject to judicial review under the provisions of the Administrative Review Law and its rules. The accused may request a judicial review by petitioning the circuit court of the county of her residence. If the party is not a resident of Illinois, the venue will be in Sangamon County. Non-payment issues when obtaining a license or renewing one: non-payment of child support. Specifically highlighted in the Illinois Real Estate License Act of 2000, the department will refuse to issue or renew, or may revoke or suspend, the licenses of individuals who are more than 30 days delinquent in child support payments. Non-payment of state income tax: anyone who fails to file a tax return or to pay any tax, penalty, interest, or final assessment required by the Illinois Department of Revenue may have her license withheld or suspended until any such tax requirements are met, section 20-35. Non-payment of student loans. If student loans were provided or guaranteed by the Illinois Student Assistance Commission or any governmental agency of the state and not paid back, the department will not grant a real estate license to that individual. For an existing licensee, a hearing is made available, after which, if no satisfactory repayment plan has been made, the license may be suspended or revoked. Good moral character, Section 5-25, the board may revoke licenses or refuse to grant licenses to applicants who make false statements on their licensure applications. In evaluating an applicant's moral character and deciding whether to grant a license, the board may take into account facts and events from the applicant's past, including prior conduct, revocation of her license, conviction for a felony that involved moral turpitude, or a conviction or plea of guilty or nolo contendere in cases involving forgery, embezzlement, obtaining money under false pretenses, larceny, extortion, or conspiracy to defraud. In its consideration of the prior revocation, conduct, or conviction, the board shall take into account the nature of the conduct, any aggravating or extenuating circumstances, the time elapsed since the revocation, conduct, or conviction, the rehabilitation or restitution performed by the applicant, mitigating factors, and any other factors that the board deems relevant. In evaluating past conduct, the board will consider the particular details of the behavior or violation, how long ago the events took place, whether the applicant has made restitution or been rehabilitated, and other factors as the board desires. Violations, Section 20-22. Any person who is found working or acting as a managing broker, broker, or residential leasing agent without being issued a valid existing license is guilty of a Class A misdemeanor and, on conviction of a second or subsequent offense, the violator is guilty of a Class 4 felony. Injunctions. In addition to criminal prosecutions, the department has the duty and authority to originate an injunction to prevent or stop a violation, or to prevent an unlicensed person from acting as a broker, managing broker, or residential leasing agent. A violation of the Illinois Real Estate License Act of 2000 is specifically declared to be harmful to the public welfare and a public nuisance. The Attorney General of Illinois, a county state's attorney, the department, and even private citizens may seek an injunction to stop or prevent a violation. Disciplinary Statute of Limitations, Section 20-115. No action may be taken by the department against any person for violation of the terms of this act or its rules, unless the action is commenced within 5 years after the occurrence of the alleged violation. Index of Decisions, Section 20-5. The department is required to maintain an index of all its licensee-related formal decisions. This includes all refusals to issue, all renewals, or refusals to renew, all revocations or suspensions of licenses, and all probationary and other disciplinary actions. The index is available for public inspection during normal business hours. If the licensee wishes to have their license reinstated, the licensee must reimburse the fund all fees plus interest. The interest rate is established by state statute. The Real Estate Recovery Fund. The Real Estate Recovery Fund provides a means of compensation for actual monetary losses, as opposed to losses in market value, suffered by any person as a result of actions by a licensee or a licensee's unlicensed employee. A violation of the Real Estate License Act of 2000, its rules and regulations. Act of embezzlement of money or property. Obtaining money or property by, O false pretenses. O artifice, O trickery, O forgery, O fraud, O misrepresentation, O deceit, O discrimination. The procedure for recovery for actual loss by an aggrieved person has been substantially streamlined to allow for actual recovery from the fund if there is a basis for recovery. The fund may pay out a maximum sum as determined by the department to the wronged person, as ordered by the relevant county's circuit court. This amount can include an additional payment for legal costs and attorney's fees of up to 15% of the total amount, ordered as recovery for the improper conduct. The maximum fund liability of $100,000 must be spread equally among all co-owners. Interest is not paid on the recovery amount. Recovery sums will only be paid out in cases where valid judgments have been made and will not be paid out for violations of the Land Sales Act or the Timeshare Act. A claim against the fund does not need to arise from a loss resulting from intentional misconduct. The department will determine by rule the maximum amount an aggrieved person may recover from the fund, as well as the maximum liability arising out of a licensee's activities. There is no longer a cap on attorney's fees. The Act removes certain barriers to be eligible to recover from the fund. Collection from the Recovery Fund, Section 20-90. When a lawsuit may result in a claim against the Real Estate Recovery Fund, the department must be notified in writing by the aggrieved person at the time the action is commenced against the licensee, specifically, within 7 days of filing a suit against the licensee. Failure to notify the department of the potential liability precludes any recovery from the fund. If the plaintiff is unable to serve the defendant with a summons, the secretary may be served instead, and this service will be valid and binding on the defendant. Additionally, legal action must have commenced no later than 2 years after the aggrieved person knew of the acts or omissions that gave rise to possible right of recovery from the fund. If a claimant recovers a valid judgment in any court against any licensee or unlicensed employee for damages resulting from an act or omission qualifying for coverage under the fund, the department must receive written notice of the judgment within 30 days. The department is also entitled to 20 days written notice of any supplementary proceedings in order to permit the department to participate in all efforts to collect on the judgment. For a claimant to obtain recovery from the fund, all proceedings, including all reviews and appeals, must be completed. In addition, the claimant must show that she has attempted to recover the judgment amount from the licensee or unlicensed employee's real or personal property or other assets and was either unable to do so or the amount recovered was insufficient to satisfy the judgment. The names of all licensees and other parties that are in any way responsible for the loss must have been named in the suit. If they were not, it may preclude recovery from the fund. Finally, the claimant must show that the amount of attorney's fees being sought is reasonable. When a judgment amount is paid from the recovery fund, the department takes over the rights of the aggrieved party on this issue. She is required to assign all right, title, and interest in judgment to the department. By this subrogation, any funds recovered on the judgment will be deposited back in the recovery fund. Fund losses held against the licensee, Section 20-90. When payment is made from the recovery fund to settle a claim or satisfy a judgment against a licensed broker, managing broker, or unlicensed employee, the license of the offending broker or managing broker is automatically terminated. The broker, or managing broker, may not petition for the restoration of her license until she has made repayment in full to the recovery fund of all awards made due to her actions, plus interest at the statutory annual rate. A discharge in bankruptcy does not relieve a person from the liabilities and penalties provided for in the Illinois Real Estate License Act of 2000. If the licensee wishes to have their license reinstated, the licensee must reimburse the fund all fees plus interest. The interest rate is established by state statute. Statute of Limitations, Sections 20-90 and 20-115. A suit that may ultimately result in collection from the fund must be commenced within 2 years after the date the alleged violation occurred. The department must initiate any action it plans to take against an individual licensee within 5 years of the violation. Financing the Recovery Fund, Sections 25-35. If at any time during the year the fund slips below $750,000, the Real Estate License Administration Fund is utilized to upgrade the level to a minimum balance of $800,000. All recovery fund monies received from applications, renewals, and fines and penalties are deposited into the Real Estate Recovery Fund, and its sums may be invested and reinvested.